Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Meeting for October 18th, 2016. Call to order. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice that this meeting has been provided by publication of the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Would you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, roll call, please.
Mrs. Bassan.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Gardner. Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Loffredo?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale? Mr. Warren?
Here.
Madison Detlinger?
Here.
Carly Grogan?
Here.
Christopher Driscoll?
Here.
Mara Farragher? We have quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience, the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. We recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole and closed executive session of September 20th, 2016, and the regular public meeting and closed executive session of September 27th, 2016. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reason for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, a second? Mr. Warren, any discussion about the minutes or questions? Sandy, please.
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Before we go to our student board representative report, we're very pleased to have Carly Grogan join us this year. And at this time, I would ask that Ms. Coates please administer the oath of office to Ms. Grogan.
Certainly. Carly, can I ask you to stand and raise your right hand and repeat after me? And you can use this if you need to.
Okay.
I, please state your name. Carly Grogan. Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Carly Grogan,
do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Carly. Do we have a student board representative report?
Yes.
Mr. Driscoll.
Student Council has continued planning different activities, fundraisers, and new ideas for this year at Manasquan High School. On October 4th, MHS had their annual college night, and all members of Student Council volunteered and assisted each of the college representatives with what they needed. The junior and senior year class members of Student Council have been volunteering every home football game at the snack day and rotating every other week. Last Saturday, Student Council also volunteered at the alumni game, giving tours to MHS alumni. Representatives for the freshman class have been officially selected, and we all look forward to working with them. Our next big event will be our open house for the 8th graders. We are looking forward to showing them the future students of MHS and how great this school is. Each class has continued planning for homecoming activities. We are all excited to do all the activities coming up, and we cannot wait for all these events to be great successes.
Thank you, Mr. Driscoll. Ms. Dettlinger?
For the month of October, the Key Club will be volunteering in the Manasquan Elks Breakfast, the Tutoring and Homework Helpers Club, the Homework Helpers ELL Students, the PTO MES Babysitting, Fall Festival, the Just Us Girls Run, the Spring Lake Kitchen Tour, and collecting food for the Thanksgiving food drive.
Thank you, Ms. Dettlinger. Do we have a motion to accept the Student Board Representative Report? Ms. Pisone, second. Mr. Lufredo, any questions about the report? Sandy?
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Cattani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lufredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Thank you. At this time, if you look at the agenda, if you're following along the agenda, we're going to change the order a little bit out of consideration for some people's time. Some people are here that have to get somewhere else. So the first presentation we're going to have is from our Manasquan High School Endowment and Alumni Association. I'll turn it over to Dr. Cajun for that.
Before we do that, since we're going out of order, may I read a letter that I received in email?
Sure.
Because I have a captive audience. And I know I'm going to lose you after all the presentations, but that's okay because we have homework to do, and I understand. I'm often heard to say that Manasquan is a magical place, and I think tonight's board meeting represents that. You heard a report from our student representatives. Tonight you'll hear a report from our instructional council, the teachers that have taken a vision on how we can make the school and the district better, if you want to use the term better, or tweak it as we move forward. We have a Student Leadership Advisory Council report that we'll also hear. And you'll hear the board focus on the community and the endowment and thank them for a gift. This all is happening because of the vision that this Board of Education has in their understanding and collaboration. They understand why they're here. They're here for children. And to that end, I want to read an email that I received. It actually went to Mr. Coppola. With my fourth child entering Manasquan High and one more to go, I have heard a lot of speeches and encouragement from the staff, both at back to school night and freshman orientation. A lot of colleges that graduates will be attending are mentioned, although not a lot is said about what you can achieve once you get there. So I thought I'd give you an update on my daughter, who graduated in 2015. She is attending Cornell University, where she majors in chemical engineering, arguably the hardest major they offer. Nicole has spoken to me about how prepared she was for calculus, and it was all thanks to Mr. Pataglia. I'm including a link which shows Nicole in action. She was accepted into a research group called Daniel Research Group, which is doing cutting-edge medical advances. Basically, they study the surface cells and how viruses bind to cells. Anyway, here is the link. I just thought it would be nice to share a success story and what could be accomplished by working hard in high school. Have a great school year. This would not have been accomplished without the work of the people who are sitting up here, the people in the audience today, the parents, and the wonderful staff and students that make Manasquan truly a magical place, and I'm so thankful to be here. So thank you for allowing me to start with that. With that, can we go to the podium?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, if you want to move so you can take a look at the screen. Welcome to tonight's Manasquan Board of Education meeting. As you all know, Manasquan most recently has gone out for two referendums to improve the infrastructure here at Manasquan School District. And it was awful nice for the community to step up and ask us, once we had finished the capital improvement project, what do you need? And tonight the board's going to dedicate a resolution and accept a gift
from the Manasquan High School Endowment and Alumni Foundation. And as you can see from the pictures that appear, the people representing the endowment tonight, Tricia Brown, Ann Michaels, Jeff Osborne, Rob Schatzman, and Loretta Scarifa. Why must you correct me?
I think we need
to. Once a principal, always a principal.
We need to practice beforehand.
And here is a list of all the people who served the endowment. With that, I'm going to ask our board president, Mr. Pellegrino, to read a resolution.
October 18th, 2016, resolution authorizing the acceptance of a gift of $200,000 from the Manasquan High School Endowment and Alumni Foundation for improvement to district facilities. Whereas the Manasquan Board of Education, in accordance with District Policy 7230, is authorized to accept gifts on behalf of the district, and whereas in accordance with the policy, the Board of Education will make every effort to honor the intent of the donor in the use of this gift, and whereas the Manasquan High School Endowment Alumni Foundation has offered a donation and or goods and services in the amount of $200,000 to place improvements on district property specific to the development of a press box, associated awnings, landscaping, signage, public address and speaker system, and providing for the demolition of the existing snack shack, here and after referred to as improvements. And whereas it is anticipated that the dedication of the new improvements will be at the Thanksgiving Day football game, at which time it would be appropriate to publicly acknowledge the donation of the Manasquan High School Endowment and Alumni Fund. Now therefore be resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education approves, authorizes, and accepts with thanks and appreciation, I would say much appreciation, the gift of improvements from the Manasquan High School Endowment and Alumni Foundation. Be it further resolved, the district professional staff take any and all action necessary to effectuate the purpose of this resolution. That's the resolution.
Thank you very much. Should I speak into this?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciate your acknowledgement and you know, the first thing I really want to do is kind of shine the Mirrorball Trophy back at you. When we went to do this, you know, we needed a lot of suppliers, a lot of local workers who gave us history as to the last time this field had been resodded. And the best number I came from that I heard was 1980. And so here we were here for decades with a field that, you know, was, as we all know, substandard. And it really took you to make the decisions and have the resolve to fix that field. And so, you know, I'm gonna ask all these people to clap for you guys for making that happen. Thank you so much. And most importantly, making it multi-purpose. I mean, I can't tell you how many soccer moms and dads I know, how many lacrosse moms and dads I know who really felt their kids should play in that field. So that's been outstanding. And if anyone's seen it, it looks beautiful. So first off, I want to say that. I'm not going to be long. The second thing, every project does need a quarterback. And at the risk of my hip being broken, I've got to ask you to clap for Jeff Osborne, who's been our quarterback. And with that, I'm just going to end. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Rob, can we take the resolution?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Jeff, I can't thank you enough. I fear even asking this question. Would you like to say anything?
No, I think you've said it all.
That could be a first. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Awesome. With that, we usually go to our students of the month. Are you going to change tonight, however, to move to the committee presentation on the referendum?
If I had my notes in front of me, I would tell you if that's what you think is next. Go ahead.
Well, we have a capped audience here, so
that was probably a good idea.
Okay.
At this time, I would ask Mr. Catani, who is the chairman of the board's referendum committee, to please address the board and the public.
Good
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Gene Catani. I'm the chairman of a referendum committee. Also on the committee was Mr. Serena, Mr. Pellegrino, Mr. Warren, Dr. Cajun, and Ms. Coates. And we were asked to get together as a committee in September and really look at the past referendums we've had that have failed and look at the line items in those referendums and determine how, which ones need to get done, when they need to get done, and how we can fund them. Do we need to go for another referendum? Can we get some in the budget? Can we get some from donations? And the answer was all of it. As you can see from the field and the dedication of the new building, the field was done within the budget. The building was donated. So I think there's ways to look at the things we need and determine different ways of funding. With that said, we are limited in our budget and the state regulations on how much money we can save and put into capital improvements. So we have determined that we will need to go to another referendum. Okay. So what I want to do today is we went through, we got together a couple times in September, and we went through every line item within the past referendums and determined which ones we actually need that we can't get in the budget. And all the board members, you have these packages. But the first thing you have in there is a description of the state aid, which will tell you how the state aid funds us, where we can get, depending on the line item and the improvement we want, we get anywhere from 0 to 40% in state aid, and we'll detail all that through. So first I want to talk about the elementary school. Everything that was in the first referendum for the elementary school, we firmly believe we need to do. So we eliminated nothing from the last referendum for the elementary school. Now with that said, we were able to do certain things within the budget this past year. We were able to do some window replacement. We were able to put some security systems in, put a secure vestibule in. So even though we want to do everything, some of it's already been done. So the amount of the referendum is actually going to go down on the portion for the elementary school. So what we're looking to do at the elementary school in the form of a referendum is redo the fields, resurface the parking lot, and add a playground for the older students. In addition, for exterior renovations, the windows we could have replaced in the budget, we're going to look to replace. These are the real old windows. And we're going to put some more door access monitoring systems in for security. And then in the gym, we're going to just add a new divider, which is a relatively minor expense. And then one of the biggest things is the media center, or what most people know as the library, will get completely redone. The HVAC system, we're going to go ahead and put new controls in. Existing system, just new temperature controls, which will help greatly with the comfort within the school, and it's also going to help reduce our utility expenses. And then as far as our electrical construction, we're proposing to put a new fire alarm addressable system in. The old system is just old. It doesn't tell the fire department where the fire is, where they have to enter, what's going on. It just rings bells. So we're looking to put a new system in, do additional security upgrades with cameras, and a new phone system. So what's that all going to cost? All in, the total cost is $3.886 million. And that will be the amount that goes into the referendum. But we are able to recapture, we're estimating 40% of that in debt relief from the state. So the local share will be about $2.3 million. I'll give you an idea how that compares to the last referendum. Last referendum, the total estimated cost was $4.7 million. So we're over $850,000 reduced. Just some pictures that show some of the diagrams of the field renovated. But the yellow side over to the right is the restructure, the resurfacing of the parking lot, the existing parking lot.
And you can see in the encased orange or red section, those are the windows that would be replaced. And the media center, again, would be completely redone.
The library.
Now for the high school, we looked at it a little differently. We really drilled down the things that we think we can get in the budget and not have to include in a referendum. So really the consensus of the committee that we were going to focus on science labs, the HVAC system, a new phone system, and some new equipment for the TV studio. That's it. Everything else we basically took out. And so excluded from this proposal was the new bus configuration, the roof replacement, the exterior doors, interior doors, an exterior door monitoring or security system. We thought things like interior doors, we could take out a referendum. It doesn't have to be done at once. We could do 10% a year for 10 years and get that done and try to get that done within the budget. So we have a science lab renovation. Those are our existing science labs. We changed it a little bit. The original one had three science labs. Now we're proposing to have two science labs and one STEM lab, dedicated to the science, technology, engineering, and math department. Originally, we were going to get rid of the stairs and the to the second floor, but we realized we're going to put new science labs there. We need stairs, so they stayed in. We're going to replace the HVAC controls only for the oldest part of the building, the 1961 heating system. We're going to put new controls in, again, trying to make it a better environment for the students, and eventually it's going to save us money on the utility expenses. A new phone system, we just have a very outdated phone system that has to be upgraded, and while we're doing all the wiring in here, it just makes sense to do. And there's some money in there from upgrading some equipment in the TV studio. So the second floor, we still are proposing three new science labs, a greenhouse, an IT room, and some offices. So, total cost. Total estimated cost for the high school is $8.1 million. We're projecting to get 27% of that back, which means the local share is $5.9 million. So, just to give you some numbers, the $8.1 million, the January referendum we had was 10.2. So, there's a $2.1 million in cost that we took out from last time. So, some diagrams. This is the bottom. You can see the blue are the bottom. New science labs and the STEM lab. And then up top, the purple would be the additional science labs, the IT room, and some office space, and the greenhouse. And just to give you an idea of what it looks like now, what we're proposing it looks like. So, the two projects together come to a little over $12 million. 31% coming from the state debt relief, so our local share is about $8.2 million. That's about just under $3 million less than our January referendum that we went out for. Now, in addition to that, obviously we were able to find funds to work on our fields, and we're not going to go for a second question. Last time out, we had a second question, which was a total of $4.9 million just for athletic fields. We feel that over time, we can find money year after year or look for donations and improve those fields. So we are not going to, we're taking that $4.9 million off the table. So if you take that $4.9 million off and we added the 2.9 we reduced, it's almost $8 million that we took out from the last referendum, which is a 41% reduction. Now, as far as, I don't think that's in here, no, it's not, but we did some preliminary numbers on what that means on a tax impact. We have Phoenix Advisors advising us on that and putting together the numbers for the bond and for the debt. And since we have basically all of our debt goes away by 2026, we're actually adding less debt that's falling off the books. So if you look at the average home in Manasquan that has the new assessed value on the new numbers, the value that's $621,000, the average tax impact on the debt is actually a negative. Over the life of the bond, the average tax on the debt will go down $8.23 a year. Some years it goes up a little, some years it goes down. The most it ever goes up in 1 year is $5.77 in the first year. The most it goes down is year 10, where it goes down $193 a year. So we really feel that we were able to get this whittled down to a number where it's really going to have no tax impact on the debt. Actually, there's going to be a negative tax impact. The price is going to go down. We think everything we have in here, we need. I think everything we took out, we need. But as a board, we're ready to, and as a committee, we're ready to find other ways to get it. Do we have questions from the board?
I just have one question about the soft costs that are added on. I know at the end it gave us basically what the soft costs cover, which we may spend and we may not.
Correct.
Save that way.
Yeah.
Is there any way we could take the et cetera out or have them give us a specific, because I wouldn't want the et cetera to turn into, oh, we made a mistake on this and we have to fix it, and then we have to pay for it. Like if the architect makes a mistake, that we wouldn't have to pay for it.
Well,
could we ask them that?
There's a 25% soft cost on it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's what we proposed in the other referendums as well.
So we can get a definite what that et cetera is at the end. If you walk, you put soft costs. And then it says accept. Just if we can ask the architect, what does that mean? Or what does that cost?
Yeah.
Because if it could save us that 25%, it could save us some money that way. That would be a plus also.
Yeah, we could discuss it.
We'd have to ask the architect that, or is that something that they put in there? How do we figure out the 25%?
Dan, legally, how does the architect come to 25%?
Just be a matter of contract.
Okay.
So if he agreed to a flat rate, you know, that's one thing, but if it's usually the construction contracts are, here's our hourly rate for this work, you know, broken up into different segments.
We can get that.
So we can ask them.
Yeah, we can get that breakdown. But also in that soft costs are overages in case something comes up while we're building.
Change orders. I understand. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
May I just add?
Sure.
Could you can you arrow back to the page where the okay. So the architect fees, the contingency, which is an allowance that is put into the contract in the event of a change order or an owner requested change as we're going along, if we, the board as the owner, if we see something that we are requesting to change, that would be covered. Construction management, that's CM. So if the board hires a construction management firm, that's all part of the 25% cost. The legal is, that is to sell the bonds. So that would go to our bond counsel. So that's what that is. And right, I do think that pretty much covers everything.
So we could take that out probably.
The word et cetera is probably misplaced, I would say, in that stringer. Those are the things that go into the soft costs.
But then you're saying just because we take the word et cetera out, does it mean that the number's going to go down, correct?
No, generally 25% is the amount that architects use for soft costs.
But they can spend up to. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to spend that. That's why I'm saying.
It's an up to.
Et cetera into it.
Yes, it is an up to. Like, for example, the contingency or the allowance, it may be that there is none of the contingency or allowance money that is spent.
Right.
So then we would not spend those funds. We would save that money.
The problem is we're taking that down too much.
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't take the amount down. We would just take the et cetera.
Because you don't want to get caught in the end.
No, you want to keep the amount, but if we save, then that's a plus in the end.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now, as we move forward with our presentation for this evening, and we move back to the agenda, is that okay?
We want the special ed.
You want the special ed committee? We're going to move to the special education committee. So, can I have that report?
Yeah, I do. Do we need to do that, or should we give the presentation? Well, not as exciting as a referendum. I can absolutely do it. I had a quick question, though, with the referendum. We do feel that we can actually surface the track within budget next year, correct?
The cost that we got, and Ms. Coates, correct me if I'm wrong, instead of doing that, I'll just ask you, the cost that we got for the track, as I recall, was $65,000.
Yes.
And we're going to put that in next year's budget.
We feel like we can absorb it. Okay. So that they're not running us. Okay. Special ed, we had a special ed ad hoc committee created so that we could review what the state evaluation was for the district. All board members received it. It was a pretty lengthy report. And we went over really a lot of the highlighted parts of it. Basically, it became a map like we did with the strategic planning, which is it will give us guidance in which we can make some changes within our special ed programs between the high school and the elementary school. The committee is myself, Donna Bassone, Joe Lafredo, Mr. Pellegrino, Mrs. Coates, and Dr. Cajun, and at this meeting, Margaret Pollack, who is her official title is Supervisor of Special Ed? Supervisor of Special Services. Mr. Lafredo and Mr. Pellegrino had prior engagements, so it was myself, Ms. Dr. Cajun, then Coates, Donna Bassone, and Ms. Pollack. What we went over were some definite highlights. Talking about one main focus was the opportunity to hopefully create programs within the district to bring some students who have been placed outside of the district back home. With that, we've talked about making sure that the board gets the numbers once we have them for transportation, so that we understand as a board and as a district, the total cost to send a pupil out of district. Sometimes that is unavoidable because of the child's classification and their needs, and that we are not able to service them within district. But we believe that if we create the programs similar to the program that was created at the high school for some self-contained students, we would be able to. They brought some students back, which was a major savings to the district. Things like transportation are very, very costly on top of the outside placement schools. And we made sure that we talked about that and made sure that the board is going to be presented that. So when we're considering creating programs that may cost for a teacher or some paraprofessionals to be hired, that we weigh it out with the cost of that student to be outside of district. If we do a very good job of creating programs in district, we not only will bring our own students back, but oftentimes other districts will pay for their children to come here because they would rather them be much closer than to be transporting them to 45 minutes to an hour away for different programs. We talked about the amount of children that may, the classification rate of students from sending districts coming into the high school, that we need to watch that of students that come from sending districts, if they are not classified where they are coming from, evaluating if they are potentially with the IRNRS being classified here. The IRNRS is a in-house evaluation team that when there is a student struggling, that they look into how we can help them if they need to be classified with a 504 or an IEP, which is an individual education plan. We talked about that. We talked about potentially creating a master teacher position for in the high school, as well in the elementary school, in not all classes are students with IEPs or 504 plans supported. And for a class like, say, art or gym or health, that master teacher potentially, if we created that, could go around to the different regular ed teachers and assist them in how to modify or actually do the modifications for testing for those children's individual education plans. And that would, instead of hiring multiple teachers to assist teachers, it would be one who would oversee, and there would obviously be not only the benefit of educating the regular ed teachers on how to modify for children with needs, it would also help be a cost savings then instead of hiring, say, five or six teachers. That teacher could also help if there is a situation that is a very accelerated educationally advanced child and maybe a high-level class, but may need some behavior mod or some support at different times in very high stress level situations, that they could come in and assist instead of having someone in there all the time. We talked about the guidance department. Historically, the guidance department has done the scheduling for the general population, and the child study team has done the scheduling for the special ed students and the children with 504s. And we are trying to transition that to be the guidance department's sole responsibility, to free up the child study team for them to do the jobs that they need to do, which is majority of that is going in and observing the kids in the classroom so that they are well-versed with the child's needs when they go to the parent-teacher meetings. We are really going to be focusing going forward on going through the state report and making sure that we are hitting all the very important highlighted pieces. And Mrs. Pollack is right on board with the committee and with not only this, the changes that are needed to be made, but also creating some different programs to bring kids back home.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Anybody have questions? If I ever use terminology that is, needs to be explained, I'll try to explain it.
Great.
Now, as we move forward with the rest of the agenda, we have our instructional council report from Claire Posick and Allison Griffith, the co-chairs. Guys?
Hi. Do I have to stand in the middle?
You can stand wherever you'd like.
Right.
I'm just thankful to have you.
I like to move around.
Okay.
So I'm Claire Kozik. I'm the director of the Academy of Health Careers. I still get used to saying that. And then I also teach one health and PE class still. And then, go ahead.
I'm Allison Griffith. I am a high school Spanish teacher.
So we are on a committee of about 13 people, elementary school and high school combined. And we came together, and basically the two topics that we came up with that we want to focus on are communication and rigor. So the couple of questions that we came up with, which we'll share with you tonight, we're then going to put into place and hopefully then form goals within our committee when we meet next in November 14th. All right? So I'll share with you the communication aspect, and they'll turn into SMART goals at the end. So the first one is, how can we better utilize the resources we already have in-house? For example, Microsoft Outlook, utilize all the components of that. How should the sending districts know about us, and how should we know about them? You know, open up the lines of communication better. Also, how do we incorporate more interaction among staff cross-curricularly? I like to interact with maybe more science people. Allison might want to interact more with, you know, the math department. Just getting together more and coming out of our departments and spreading our wings. Also, how to keep the numbers high. Enrollment outreach to the 6th and 7th graders, you know, get some maybe a little bit earlier. Also establish a promotion marketing committee person. How to better roll out initiatives, technology. For example, we're all jumping on the Canvas bandwagon. Let's try to utilize it a little bit more efficiently, so to speak. Also how to better communicate with higher-ups. And then we're thinking of an idea of establishing communication ambassadors from each department and the student body. And then we would meet together with Dr. Cajun, and we would go from there so we can just all be on the same page. And that is communication. So,
I think we're both really excited about being members of the Instructional Council, because it really is a unique opportunity for us to get together with people across the street and talk about how we can improve as a school with the resources that we currently have. To that effect, I'm going to talk a little about academic rigor, because here in Manasquan, we already show a lot of academic excellence, and we're looking forward to being able to increase that excellence and increase the rigor while still making sure that every student feels like they have a choice. We have five questions that are going to tailor our SMART goals. The first is, how do we find out if students or staff are interested in new programs and classes? Because when I think of academic rigor, when Claire thinks about rigor, when our council thinks about rigor, it involves new programs, new classes, STEM, STEAM, which I really like as a language teacher, including the arts and the language into that, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So we're going to conduct surveys in order to see if the interest is there for increasing academic rigor in both the elementary school and the high school. Then we're going to determine what constructs we need. Should we be creating new courses? Should we be staffing those courses through teachers? Should we be using the programs that Claire talked about, Canvas and Outlook and other platforms for communication via technology with the students? Should we be introducing those kinds of courses? What are our competitors doing? In order to make sure that we have high levels of enrollment and we look like an attractive area, we need to make sure that we know what the private schools are doing, what the voc schools are doing, and how we can make sure that, because we have great teachers here at Manasquan, great teachers at the high school and at the elementary school. So we want to make sure that we're the most attractive option for our students. And then we want to make sure that we're considering student choice. So how do we improve this rigor? And also consider student choice in the path that they want to take with their academics. The last is, how do we make use of our current staff and our current resources for potential course ahead and or credit recovery that we would have in-house? So for the example that I think of as a Spanish teacher is if a student has taken Spanish 1 in 8th grade and is recommended to take Spanish 1 again in 9th grade, should they take course ahead so that they could be in Spanish 2 in 9th grade instead? Should they do a summer program? Is that something that we want to consider for our academic rigor? So we look forward to meeting with you again once we do have our SMART goals established, and hopefully meeting with you yet again to tell you how we're accomplishing our SMART goals.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I love our captive audience. We have a blood drive coming up. I'm totally hijacking this. But it's really exciting because we're opening it up to the community, and you are the community. So I have got the okay from Dr. Cage and Mr. Coppola, and I'm allowed to put a mobile blood donation unit out in the U of the school. We're going to talk to everybody that's involved, so it's safe. But can you come out and give us your blood? Because that literally, I turned it into a scholarship for the Academy of Health Careers. And I'd like to give out more than $1,000. So
when is it?
November 4th, 7:38 to 1:30. I will send emails out. There will be flyers everywhere. But I thought a captive audience, why not? And we're trying to get Hoffman's on board for the first 25 community members. And I'm the nutrition teacher. You'll get a pint of ice cream. That's what we're working towards. All right, but please, I'd love to take your blood. Have a very good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
As we move forward, we're going to go to the high school students and teachers of the month, and then we're going to follow up with your report. Okay? Thank you. We're at the portion of our meeting now where we're going to focus on the students and teachers of the month. And I like to start this segment off by just focusing on how those children and teachers are selected. I'm very proud of the excellence of execution that we have here at Manasquan on both sides of the street, the elementary school and the high school. To see that students have definitely demonstrated excellence above our norm of excellence is truly remarkable. Students are selected because they serve as role models for their peers. They're academically motivated above the norm. They demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom, and they have a very positive school attitude. They're involved in extracurricular activities, and they perform school and community service. The ELK student teenager of the month are selected program is designed to recognize outstanding young men and women for achievements in school and community life, fine arts, hobbies, athletic, church, school, club, and community service, industry, and farming are recognized. Their accomplishments should be recognized and praised. They are chosen by their teachers. And as we move forward tonight, the Manasquan Board of Education congratulates the Manasquan High School Students of the Month from grade 12, Catherine Callahan. Don't forget the Wally Bucks that you get.
Congratulations.
The Manasquan High School Student of the Month from grade 12, Quincy Zawidowski.
Quincy?
Grade 11.
Is that correct, Quincy?
Zawidowski.
And it's 11th grade.
I said grade 11, didn't I?
No, you said
12. No, I definitely said grade 11. You see it on TV. That's okay.
He was focusing on the pronunciation of your last name.
Moving right along. The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates Manasquan High School Students of the Month for grade 10, Kennedy Miller. Student of the Month, grade 9, Luke McNamara.
Thank you. Luke, did you want to say anything to everybody while you're here?
No. We truly have a special staff. This is truly a pleasure for us every month to congratulate the teacher that has been selected by the senior as an outstanding teacher. The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates Teacher of the Month, Allison Griffith. The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates the Manasquan Elementary School Student of the Month, Stephen Schmieder. I had a lot of help.
Mr. Driscoll.
The Manasquan Board of Education graduates. Again, another example of our outstanding staff. To know our staff, and to know how truly wonderful they are. Teaching a Teacher of the Month, I would believe, is so difficult for our students. So I think this is truly an honor. The Manasquan Teacher of the Month from the elementary school, Andrea Fischetta. Board of Education graduates the Elementary School Helps Student of the Month, Bridget McCarthy. Bridget, you wanted to say something. You wanted to say something with someone else?
Yes, not about me. In the eighth grade STEM program, we decided to get together and create a scarecrow for the town scarecrow contest, and it was inspired by the values of the STEM program, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, about like the progression of technology. And if you want to see it, it's on the corner of Broad Street right now.
Without further ado, our student leadership advisory council report will be delivered, who's been so patiently sitting there, Thomas B. Thomas Mono. Our October chairperson.
Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and the board. My name is Thomas Beaton, and I was chosen to be the October chairman
for the Student Leadership Advisory Council by Dr. Cajun. This committee was brought aware to my attention and other committee members, all from Student Council, and myself and the other members received an email from the superintendent in late September. Dr. Cajun, who is interested in starting this committee, started in order to get a better sense of what the student body wants or within the school and how we can make the school year better. We met on October 14th, where we discussed the purpose and our goals of the council. Manasquan High School's strong sense of community and belongings and stellar academic reputation led to great traditions seen across the school today. This committee has a unique opportunity for students within the school, like myself, to work with the principal and superintendent, which is very uncommon in many school districts, which makes Manasquan unique. Myself and other members of this committee are not here to critique the school, but to add tradition and events to the school calendar with permission from Mr. Capola and Dr. Cajun. We also set positive goals to benefit the student body and to see if we can achieve them by the end of the school year. These goals are called SMART goals. SMART is an acronym meaning specific, meaningful, action-oriented, realistic, and timely. We set these goals up to get a better understanding if a new event or idea is realistic due to the time frame given and if it is in the school's best interest. Some goals we wish to achieve are to come up with some new themes for Spirit Week, which commonly happens during the week of homecoming and in the spring semester. We also would like the student body to have a better time at Halloween besides sitting on the bleachers and watching the parade. We would like to involve some of the students by allowing them to participate in some quick games, like seen in the homecoming pep rally, but given a twist to coincide with Halloween. We also would like to start a new dance in February, like freshman, sophomore, semi, but for the juniors and seniors classes only, which would act as a fundraiser for the student council for the grades respectively. As the year goes on, our ideas will hopefully be taken in action and new traditions to the school, along with set precedents for future members of the council to act upon. In all, I'm looking forward to a successful year working with the committee, Mr. Capola and Dr. Cajun. Thank you.
I want everyone to know Mr. Capola serves on this committee, and he serves as one of the members, and he couldn't wait to have it start. And I want you to know, Thomas, that in a career that I have that spanned a couple of decades, this is a highlight of my career, what you just said, where you demonstrate ownership, which is used. This is not our school. This is your school, and we share it with you. Thank you for that. You have a I think that ends our presentation. Guys, you want to go home and do homework? I would like that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can study in the theater.
Yeah.
I was going to hear. Thank you, girls. Thank you, Mr. Make a run for it now. Make a run for it now.
What's up, Joseph?
How's it going, Mr. Serino?
How are you doing today?
All right, not bad.
So, Jake is not scoring a goal in soccer. So, 2 weeks ago, he's supposed to. Last week, he missed it. By that much, just goes by. So this week, he has goal in goal, we're up 7-0. He does not stop a ball.
Mr. Place?
He has not stopped a shot yet. Jake's running in the middle of the field.
It never went completely out, but it stopped vibrating and then it went back up. It's still on.
Like this. It hits him in the hand, drops right on Charlie's foot, and he kicked it in. I look at kids that are in school. He hit a rocket at this kid. I was like, come on.
Just Jake's like.
I know, 1 inch left, and Jake's like, I've never been to
I can see that.
I was like, it'll come, buddy. It'll come.
It'll happen. It's gonna happen.
I'll tell you what, though.
Have a good night.
Michael
thank
had
you.
A sleep
you.
On Saturday.
Great job.
You're right. Thank you. Michael had a sleep on Saturday because they put him on the opposing team.
Oh.
He ran. He had a run. 5 miles.
He and I both. All right, Mr. Serino, we're going to get back to our discussion items for the October 18th agenda.
We took a break. Everybody's up and wandering.
Well, now they're back. We are to the discussion items for the agenda. The first item for discussion would be our education curriculum and technology report. And that refers to something that we already discussed, which was the ad hoc special ed committee and the ad hoc referendum committee. Next, we'll move on to personnel. I'll turn that over to Dr. Cajun.
Personnel will be discussed in executive session, and there are some items that we will be talking about that are on the agenda as we move forward. Policy is something that we brought up at the last meeting, and everyone received policy 5420, reporting pupil progress. This policy is something that you can revise. A question was raised at the last board meeting concerned exactly when teachers put things on the web portal. From discussions with Mrs. Kerensky, who happens to be here this evening. Barbara, I'm going to throw the ball to you, and it's not a fireball, because in regards to assignment being assessed and the assessment being placed on the portal, do the teachers definitely have a period of time when that has to be done? I know we have a time in the policy when we're required to place semester grades on the portal. But in regards to the assessments themselves, is there a period of time when they have to?
The 15th and 30th.
Excuse me?
The 15th and the 30th of each month, the teacher should have their grade books up to date.
Okay. So by the 15th and 30th of each month, all the grades, all the assessments that have been done have been graded and are placed on the portal. Now we can, if you want to amend that in our policy, if you feel you need to move forward differently, we can do that.
I think some of the concern that I have heard, a person who approached me and multiple people who've throughout the time talked about this, is that sometimes when you go from zero to 10 to 15 grades being inputted, by the time it's inputted, there could be a huge problem and there could be an inability to maybe go to turn that around. Whereas if you are on a weekly basis, updating 3-4 different grades, and if a parent, because the point of the parent portal is to replace the progress reports and to replace a teacher call home saying we have a problem. If the parents are going on and seeing nothing, and then all of a sudden on the 15th there's 10 to 15 grades, or
I can only respond to the grade books that I checked. With the grade book that I've checked, I have not seen that happening. If that is happening, it really needs to be brought to a supervisor or somebody's attention. I know at the high school, Mr. Coppola established, I don't know the dates, that certain assignments need to be graded within a certain time post, and he went through writing assignment, quizzes, homework, and so forth. As I say, I can only address the grade books that I've checked. I have not seen that happening. If it is, I think it needs to be brought to someone's attention.
Well, I think if it's more of a policy issue.
Correct.
The question I had for Dr. Cajun was, is there a policy? And if there's a standard practice of the at minimum the 15th and 30th, obviously there's teachers who do it on a very, I know my own students, my own children, some of their teachers, it's a grade, they take a quiz, the next day it's there. Which is helpful for me as a parent when there's a problem, because you can nip it in the bud, or you can just be prepared that it's not going to be good. Right. But if there's not a policy, and if a parent reaches out and the response is no, there isn't a policy, so we can't really, is it? I think our policies need to keep up with the technology that we're enabling our teachers and staff and having.
To respond to that, there has to, if someone gives major test on the 14th, chances are it's not going to be in the grade book until after the 15th. So putting hard, fast dates,
Well, I don't think a date actually is a realistic. I don't think the 15th and the 30th is a realistic. I think it's more of within a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. It's not the 15th that when you give a test on the 14th.
That's what comes to place at the high school you're talking about.
But I think if this is happening, It shouldn't be happening. We should not be putting 15 grades on the portal at one particular time. it should be in a timely fashion.
Yeah, and I don't, and I'm not saying that there is 15 grades being put in, but if you have dates of, if the policy is the 15th and the 30th, and someone's only going to follow the policy, it's not the staff that's only following the policy. You know what I mean? It's not the staff that's doing on a regular basis. That's not the issue. The issue is if there's someone who's not doing it, and you need to enforce it, and there is no policy.
But I think this gets down to administration. We have to administer to the grading policy that we have. This policy has not been revised since 2011. So I think it's time that we do take a look at it.
To keep up with the technology.
And I'll ask the board to take a look at it again. And come November, I will have something updated so we can revise it again in 2016 in November. Wow, same month. And I will talk to the administrative team about this and get some suggestions. Okay, but I think it's more of an administration thing than it is a policy. Okay. Because you could have any policy you want. People aren't doing what needs to be done in a logical fashion. When you have an assessment, it should be posted
in a timely
the following
fashion.
Day. And I'll say in a timely manner.
Things get, you know, kids are making up, kids
right.
or teachers are out sick. You can't, I don't think you can put hard dates. I don't think a 15th and a 30th is a realistic thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you, Bob. really? With that, we have our total high school students and our total.
Finance and
items. You want me to go on? Okay. I will move to the finance agenda items.
Thank you. This month, our budget plan of action is posted to OneNote this evening as document H. This is a required document that outlines the time frame that will be used for preparing our 17-18 school district budget. At this point in time, some of the dates are tentatively marked with an asterisk. Those dates are subject to change. Other than a couple of dates that they may vary, there are two changes from the prior year. The first change is that the budget due date from the administrative team, the budget that they will turn in to Dr. Kajian and I, is the end of December as opposed to mid-January. The second change is that any new staff requests from the administrative team will be reviewed this year by Dr. Kajian, Mr. Place, and myself. Mr. Place has been added in this capacity due to his new human resources role. Other than those two changes that I just outlined, the plan is primarily the same as last year. Are there any questions about the plan?
I think if we're talking about new staff, I think we also have to include the director of curriculum as well.
Certainly.
Because I think that's pertinent. One of the things, one of the problems that Lynn and I have run into is that requests would come in after the budget was struck. And it's awful difficult to meet those requests after you have set numbers and you're moving into a school, new school year with looking at costs that have been projected for certain items. And it was unfair to Lynn for that. So we're going to be doing it differently this year in the development of the curriculum. But I would like to have Mrs. Krinsky at the table as well.
Thank you. So that's item number 13, agenda item 13 on page 4. So if there's no objection to that, when Mr. Pellegrino calls for a vote on that, we'll amend the plan of action to include Mrs. Krinsky, director of curriculum. Okay. Under building and grounds, I'd like to discuss just quickly the outcome of the surveys that I talked about last month regarding the LED lighting grant that we received through Sustainable Jersey for Schools. We surveyed students, staff members, PE teachers, coaches, and a couple of parents. And regarding the student survey, the question was, how do you think the new LED lights in the gymnasium will help the environment? And just a sample of the answers are, I like how they are brighter and we can see better. They help the environment by saving energy, and the lights will help the environment because they are green efficient and will help the environment make less garbage. The second question the students responded to are, how do you think the new LED lights in the gymnasium will help the school? And one student said, I think it will help conserve energy. A second student said, although they cost a lot of money, they will save money in the long run. Third student said, it will help the school by keeping the gym bright so the kids playing can tell what they are doing. And the last student said, they will help the school by making light levels brighter and more efficient. The students that came to our board meeting last school year at the very end of the school year are PowerSave students. I believe they were in seventh grade last year. Those are the students that were asked these survey questions. So they continue to be involved in sustainability. We had one PE teacher, we PE teachers and coaches asked, what is the impact of the new LED lighting on your PE class? And the PE teacher said, so far this year, the new LED lights have allowed our department to turn the lights on and off for particular lessons, improve our students' visibility, and promote a much safer environment for all those inside the gymnasium. If you remember the old lighting, when you turn the lighting on, oh, they took 5 or 10 minutes to light up the room. So in between classes, no one really wanted to turn those lights off because they took forever to like boot back up and light the room. These LED lights, when you turn the switch, they go on automatically. Another question asked of the coaches was how will the LED lighting in the gymnasium impact your sport as opposed to the lighting in prior years? And we had a coach that said it will help greatly in basketball since the game is played in the gymnasium. It will help the players and everyone see the court, and especially the baskets, better than before. The students think it is great. So there's just some really positive responses to our survey. So I thank everyone for participating. And next under building and grounds.
Glad you're fine this year.
That's why we lost.
You guys are going
we only won
12.
Two games.
You're going 12-0
no
this year. Now you have lights. You're good. You've been very hard on those boys.
Army camp.
Yes.
The
other
team
that's
here. Question was posed at one of our board meetings regarding the possibility of a lease with the Army camp. So I reached out to Mr. Roberts, who in a very timely fashion sent me this email. Per the board's discussion last night regarding the Army practice field and potential lease expansion and improvement of the area, I did some brief research on the topic under 10 USC 2667. The Army may lease such property to the board. However, the law provides that the secretary may revoke the lease at any time. Essentially, anytime the Army wants the property back, they could take it, notwithstanding any improvements the board may have had or made. While we could include a clause in the lease that would require the Army to repay the costs of improvement, that is the extent of the protection available to the board. There would be no way to enforce any property right to continue to use the field. Having said that, with the facilities manager, I had a meeting scheduled with the commandant. We met with him twice. I just met with him today by myself, and each time he was very positive about offering us the opportunity to take a portion of the fields that they have and dedicated just to Manasquan High School. For my discussion with him yesterday, he said that he's 100% with us, and he talked to his counsel, who we've scheduled a telephone conference call for Lynn, myself, he, and his colonel or captain who runs the facility. And I asked him to put this lease into place, and he reiterated what Dan told me in this email. Understanding that, I still said to him, I think that to show the public the board is moving in the right direction, we would need that lease. And he was 100% behind allowing us to put a well there, putting an irrigation system there, not having his trucks ride on it, dedicating the field just to Manasquan. He took me down the property and showed me a place we would have it at the end of the property where no one would go down that far and it would just be for us. He would allow us to put large cones there to set it off, but he would not allow us to put a fence there. It reminds me of what they have done for the croquet. I got
yes.
It the second time. I'll keep trying.
They don't let soccer play on the croquet fields.
In November 1st, I assume that we're going to come back with the possibility of a lease agreement, but with those parameters. Questions?
I think that's better than yeah, we can just revoke it.
Yeah,
reimbursement.
He's really with us. So.
Can you say any reason why he's really with us? Is there anything driving it?
Because he's charming. I think he's very charming.
He is
Dr.
charming.
Kate, no, I meant you.
One of the things he said to us was when we wanted to have the football practice there, that as long as we kept the property clean, and he required certain security, we didn't balk, and there has been one bottle on the field. That's it. And our coaches, our students, they've kept it clean. Rec a little different. Maybe. Maybe there were two bottles. But he said that to us yesterday. And I think that's why he's with us. So we'll see if he follows it through. Okay? Good. Enrollment?
Correct.
We already read the gift of $200,000, which is unbelievable. The high school enrollment, 951. Elementary school, 628. And it's 1,579 for the district. In regards to the district fire drill report, the high school, September 8th, had a fire drill which lasted 7 minutes at 9:15. On September 22nd, they had an evacuation non-fire drill which lasted 20 minutes, and that was at 1:25 p.m. at the elementary school. And September 16th at 9 a.m. for 4 minutes, we had a fire drill. And September 29th at 10:15 for 10 minutes, we had a lockdown drill. So we've met the state requirements for that. In regards to harassment, intimidation, and bullying, we did have two cases of harassment, intimidation, and bullying that were investigated, and they were found out to be under the consequences of code of conduct as opposed to being harassment, intimidation, bullying in the high school. Questions?
Do we have a motion to recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Ms. Pisone, second by Mr. Serino. Any questions about the superintendent's report?
Yeah, I just have one thing instead of putting it into old business. Can we make sure that can we put some type of clause in that lease? Not only what the district puts in, but any donations?
Sure.
Of it, such said field? Does that encompass all that?
So yeah.
That reimbursement, if someone were to donate $500,000 or donate a field, that money comes back so they can do it somewhere else?
Is there any way you can investigate your firm and find out if that's ever been done in any other county? And has the federal government come through with reimbursements, paying somebody back?
I can take a look. In my research, I didn't find any examples of the Army actually taking the property back, but there is always that possibility. So I can look.
They've allowed recreation to use that field. I mean, granted,
yeah.
They haven't built anything, but
I think it's more a national
group.
Security exception.
Yeah.
If they need
yeah.
a place to park the tanks, they're going to park them.
Even after September 11th, all they do is make the fence bigger. But rec was still on there.
Right. Now I'll take a look.
But we all look very safe.
Sandy?
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
We are to our public forum on agenda items. Seeing no one from the public, I will skip on to the Manasquan items, general items. Would anyone like to make a motion for items 12 through 27? Does anyone need anything separated out, 12 through 27? If not, do we have a motion for items 12 through 27, Manasquan items? Ms. Pisone, seconded by Mr. Catani. Any questions on those items?
I just have a question.
Sure.
Document J, that's a question for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
There's an MES preschool minus one. Does that mean they come to our preschool? Or is it a preschool student that's going out of district?
I don't think so. I think they come to our preschool.
We have preschoolers that come here.
So that's the cost?
We're
$21,000 for transportation?
I'm sorry, what? You're on Document J?
Document J. Look at mine.
It's probably, if you're a preschool handicap, am I
yes.
correct?
Yes.
That they get bused.
This doesn't say
handicap,
though. It just says preschool.
Preschool is preschool handicap.
Even our
yes,
preschool
we
that we have regular?
The preschool that we have legally.
Right.
Integrated.
All right, so that's taking,
yes.
that's
so
someone from Manasquan that has to be transported
yes.
there. That's
right.
the
These
cost
are only Manasquan students on this transportation
So
this,
it's just that one
yeah.
student.
Preschool handicap students, regardless where
right.
we're busing district or not. get picked up,
right,
dropped off.
And they get dropped off at Manasquan.
Yes, no matter where they live.
Right, anywhere, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Patani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. Marapuli.
Yes.
Mr. Lafretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Karen.
No, you're out.
I'm out.
That's the wrong thing.
And now the Manasquan Sanding District items, number 28 through number 35. Does anyone need anything separated out, 28 through 35? And if not, do we have a motion for those items? Mr. Lafredo, second. Mr. Warren, any question on those items? 27 through, or 28 through 35. Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Number 32, same from Richard Reed. Yes to everything else.
Mr. Lafretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. We are now to old and new business. Anyone have any old business for the board? Does anyone have any new business? Seeing none.
I thought, Mark, you were going to say something.
Brings us to the second public forum. Crowd has not increased in volume in any way. Anybody like to be heard?
Don't jinx us.
That brings us to number 38, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Barrow, Open Public Meetings Act, NJS, A10:4-6, the Act provides Manasquan Board of Education, I'm not sure why it says June, hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be less than 45 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subject will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Manasquan Board of Education, the board should go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute or court order, and that those are student matters. And number eight, personnel matters, which involve hiring, retirement, and leave of absence. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Burns. Seconded by Mr. Lafredo. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have. Red folder. We have a motion to reconvene. Mr. Lafreda, second. Mr. Burns, all those in favor?
Aye.
We are to number 39, personnel. We have a motion to approve the elementary school personnel as per document L. So now, L.
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Mrs. Muley, any questions on document L? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Now to number 40, do we have a motion to recommend approval of the high school personnel as per document 4? Mr. Lafredo, second. Mrs. Muley? Any questions on document 4? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Garrett
Mueller. Yes.
Mr. Lafretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carey?
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Mueller. Second. Mr. Serino.
Wait, don't
anybody
you
want
have
to stay?
Accept
the resignation?
No.
We did.
You know that.